today we perform an initiation ceremony. Initiation means beginning. This ceremony is the beginning of spiritual life. Srila Jiva Goswami describes the process of initiation as that which awakens transcendental knowledge and grants karma. Without transcendental knowledge, it is not possible to utilize the human form of life in the proper way. Since time immemorial, this soul, this universe, is filled with souls who misuse their lives. And in this way, travel from one planetary system to the next, from one body to the next, in a cycle of birth and death. Out of His great mercy, however, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is incarnated in the form of His holy name. He has given the Vedic knowledge into this material world, which shows the path of spiritual enlightenment, and He has given to us the association of great souls who preach the spiritual knowledge. Through them, the Supreme Personality of Godhead advises all human beings to return back home, back to Godhead, by taking part in an initiation ceremony. For an initiation ceremony to take place, there are five things which are important. One is tapasa. The disciple has to be willing to follow four rules in spiritual life, our four regulated principles. Another is the name. The disciple gets at the time of initiation from his spiritual master the holy name. That holy name is impregnated with a special potency which is there in this process of initiation. This initiation ceremony is meant to help our devotees to chant the holy name better. There is a name. This is a new name. In during the initiation ceremony, the devotee is getting a spiritual name, which shows that now he has left his material life and taken a new birth. This new name indicates the loss of the old identity. We are no longer Hans or Sieglinde, but we are now Krishna Das, an eternal servant of Krishna. Then there is Urdhva Bundra, that is the tilak. There are two lines which go upwards. That means the disciple takes a spiritual path of enlightenment which elevates him upwards into the spiritual world. That means a disciple has to learn to constantly in his life differentiate between those activities which degrade him and those which help him to elevate. That choice must become a conscious choice which is based on the knowledge and the instructions of his spiritual master. Then there is yajna. We advise our devotees to take part in the yajna of spreading the holy name in some form or another. And then there is another point which this particular circumstance is not so relevant to this. So this Harinam initiation, so we might ask ourselves, how is this possible? Well, how is this new birth possible? How is it possible to remain fixed in one's spiritual identity? How can a fallen soul act on the platform of a servant of Sri Krishna? This is possible by Nam, by the mercy of the holy name. Chaitanya Charitamrita instructs us, one day Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Saholito Gorai Pushpamanto Shito Shanto Tamondo. Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, Gaura Nitai, have appeared simultaneously on the horizon of Gauda, just like sun and moon together, to dissipate the darkness of this age of Kali. By the power of the holy name, the darkness can be dispelled. This is the weapon of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, we ask those who are initiated to cultivate the chanting of the holy name as a lifelong practice. There is never a round which we cannot improve in the beginning state. There is never a time where we can't be more conscious of Krishna. Initiation is meant as an impetus to lead one's life in such a way. Now the chanting of the holy name is destroyed, is clouded. The effect is clouded by offenses. Therefore, in the chanting of the holy name, 10 offenses are read. So today, I want to read these 10 offenses from the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, since I remember that during an initiation ceremony in Paris, Srila Prabhupada asked that this passage was read during that specific initiation ceremony. I want to ask all of you to give your utmost attention. Srila Jiva Goswami instructs that the chanting of the holy name of the Lord should be loudly done and should be performed offenselessly as well. As recommended in the Padma Purana, one can deliver himself from the effects of all sins by surrendering himself unto the Lord. One can deliver himself from all offenses at the feet of the Lord by taking shelter of his holy name. But one cannot protect himself if one commits an offense at the feet of the holy name of the Lord. Such offenses are mentioned in the Padma Purana as being 10 in number. The first offense is to vilify the great devotees who have preached about the glories of the Lord. The second offense is to see the holy names of the Lord in terms of worldly distinction. The Lord is the proprietor of all the universes, and therefore he may be known in different places by different names, but that does not in any way qualify the fullness of the Lord. Any nomenclature which is meant for the Supreme Lord is as holy as the others, because they are all meant for the Lord. Such holy names are as powerful as the Lord, and there is no bar for anyone in any part of the creation to chant and glorify the Lord by the particular name of the Lord as it is locally understood. They are all auspicious, and one should not distinguish such names of the Lord as material commodities. The third offense is to neglect the order of the authorized acharyas or spiritual masters. The fourth offense is to vilify scriptures or Vedic knowledge. The fifth offense is to define the holy name of the Lord in terms of one's mundane calculation. Give some interpretation. The holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord himself, and one should understand the holy name of the Lord to be none different from Him. The sixth offense is to interpret the holy name. The Lord is not imaginary, nor is His holy name. There are persons with a poor fund of knowledge who think the Lord to be an imagination of the worshipper, and therefore think His holy name to be imaginary. Such a chanter of the name of the Lord cannot achieve the desired success in the matter of chanting the holy name. The seventh offense is to commit sins intentionally on the strength of the holy name. In the scriptures, it is said that one cannot be liberated from the effects. Excuse me, please. In the scriptures, it is said that one can be liberated from the effects of all sinful actions simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who takes advantage of this transcendental method and continues to commit sins on the expectation of neutralizing the effects of sins by chanting the holy name of the Lord is the greatest offender at the feet of the holy name. Such an offender cannot purify himself by any recommended method of purification. In other words, one may be a sinful man before chanting the holy name of the Lord, but after taking shelter in the holy name of the Lord and becoming immune, one should strictly restrain oneself from committing sinful acts with the hope that this method of chanting the holy name will give him protection. The eighth offense is to consider the holy name of the Lord and His chanting method to be equal to some material auspicious activity. There are various kinds of good works for material benefits, but the holy name and His chanting are not mere auspicious holy services. Undoubtedly, the holy name is holy service, but He shall never be utilized for such purposes. Since the holy name and the Lord are of one and the same identity, one should not try to bring the holy name into the service of mankind. The idea is that the Supreme Lord is the supreme enjoyer. He is no one's servant or order supplier. Similarly, since the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord, one should not try to utilize the holy name for one's personal service. You have seen how Prabhupada explains those points which he considers very important for our correct understanding. One was to commit sins intentionally. He spent time in his purport to explain that. The other is to think, just like any Kamakanda ritual, the holy name will be our servant. No, we are the servants of the holy name. The next offense is to instruct those who are not interested in chanting the holy name of the Lord about the transcendental nature of the holy name. If such instruction is imparted to an unwilling audience, the act is considered to be an offense at the feet of the holy name. The tenth offense is to become uninterested in the holy name of the Lord even after hearing of the transcendental nature of the holy name. The effect of chanting the holy name of the Lord is perceived by the chanter as liberation from the conception of false egoism. False egoism is exhibited by thinking oneself to be the enjoyer of the world and thinking everything in the world to be meant for the enjoyment of oneself only. The whole materialistic world is moving under such false egoism of I and mine that the factual effect of chanting the holy name is to become free from such misconceptions. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. These offenses are to be avoided by someone who chants the Hare Krishna mantra, and especially by those who are initiated into the Harinam. For all of the initiates and the interested Vaishnavas, this wonderful explanation can be found in the second canto, chapter 1, text 11. A last point for the initiates, some words of some personal words. This initiation ceremony is performed by a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Since Srila Prabhupada wanted his disciples to one day take on the responsibility of spiritual masters, and since this is the system of parampara, the continuation, we take it upon us to perform this service to the preaching mission of Srila Prabhupada. Not only our lives, but the lives of those who are initiated will be successful only if we consider ourselves loyal servants of Srila Prabhupada, the eminent personality who fulfilled the Vedic prophecies that even in this age of Kali, which is so degraded, Krishna consciousness can be spread. Therefore, during such a ceremony, I want to emphatically renounce that our devotees are cultivating also their relationship to Srila Prabhupada by reading his transcendental literature. Their spiritual master activity will be easier if the disciples have some knowledge about what has been presented by Srila Prabhupada. Then he can act in Srila Prabhupada's service and get the help.